Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Eurozone economy contracts at its sharpest pace in 25 years. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. France and Spain posted their biggest declines on record in the first quarter. That's as the overall Eurozone contracted 3.8% in the first 3 months of the year as people were forced to stay home to prevent spread of COVID-19. Italy was the first European nation to impose a national lockdown. Though that's starting to ease, the country is also expected to have plunged into recession. And as the BBC's Mike Johnson reports, the road to recovery will be long.
The shutters are finally opening on Camilla Cocchi's shop because Europe's strictest and longest-running lockdown has come to an end for her. She owns two children's clothing stores in central Rome.
I was glad because I really needed the money. It was both terrifying in a negative way and in a positive way.
For almost 2 months, the shutters stayed down on Camilla's shops. In the middle of this month, though, she was allowed to reopen as Italy's tough quarantine measures began to be relaxed. That's because baby clothes were classified as essential goods. While there's global concern about the risk of a new wave of infection if economies restart too quickly, Camilla has to support a seven-year-old son and needed the money.
I had to pay loads of bills, rents.
Now, though, some money is starting to come in again.
My goal is to go at least to 50% of what I usually do in this period of the year.
From Monday, parks will reopen and all manufacturing and building work can restart. All shops will be allowed to reopen in mid-May. And from June the 1st, so will bars, restaurants, hairdressers and beauty salons. But the cost of the shutdown is still mounting.
I would say roughly 20% of GDP will be lost this year.
Enrico Colombato is Professor of Economics at the University of Turin.
Large enterprises are fairly rare. Now, small enterprises have very limited financial capacity, so many of them will not reopen.
Rome's relations with the European Union deteriorated as the coronavirus took hold and Italy's neighbours proved reluctant to rush to its aid. But EU leaders have now endorsed a nearly $590 billion rescue package, which gives countries the right to borrow from the Eurozone bailout fund. Back in Rome, Camilla Cocchi said, regardless of all of that, businesses like hers will struggle for some time.
It looks to me that, unfortunately, we're going back to Middle Ages because we're going to have serious economic problems. I mean, the damages are going to last.
And while Camilla tries to keep her business afloat, people in other areas, including tourism, are still waiting to know when they can welcome foreign visitors back to Italy. I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
Despite today's data showing the damage coronavirus has done to the Eurozone economy in the first quarter, European shares are little changed. Now the focus turns to the European Central Bank. It's so far pledged more than $1 trillion in support, but Chief Christine Lagarde has said there are no limits to the tools the ECB could use to fight the crisis. ING's Karsten Breske explains when more measures could be deployed.
I think they will have to announce something soon, not necessarily today, because we now had 6 extremely exciting weeks since the last ECB meeting with lots of announcements, new QE, the pandemic emergency program. And I think right now is the moment to take stock and then wait until the June meeting, which will also bring the latest round of forecasts.
And to that point, second quarter data could arguably be worse than the first quarter data we're seeing today. The ECB has been crystal clear that government support through fiscal spending measures needs to be bolstered. Can governments do more?
Governments can definitely do more. Interest rates are extremely low. There is lots of loans being made available for governments. There are territories in which the ECB can still do something. One is to calm financial markets. And the other one is to provide ample liquidity into the banking sector that banks are able and willing to provide then loans to the real economy.
We'll know the latest ECB policy decision at 7:45 Eastern Time. ING Chief Economist Karsten Bresky, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, as officials work to combat the economic impact of COVID-19, hopes are rising here in the UK for a coronavirus vaccine to prevent more people from getting sick. Pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca has signed a deal with Oxford University to produce and distribute a drug, as the BBC's Stephen Ryan reports.
The vaccine is still in the early development and testing stages, and there's no guarantee. But the UK's Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, said today the new agreement between Oxford and AstraZeneca gives the UK the best chance of a breakthrough to defeat this coronavirus. Several hundred people have so far taken part in clinical trials at Oxford University. But Sir John Bell, a professor of medicine, says scaling up so enough doses can be manufactured has its challenges.
The vials that you put the vaccine in, there's only 200 million vials left in the world now because they've all been sucked up by various people who can anticipate a vaccine coming along. So there's lots of challenges in getting this to work.
Enter AstraZeneca. The company will give the Oxford project scale to produce at a mass level.
We collaborate with academia, we collaborate with small biotech companies, we collaborate with big pharma companies. That's sort of the nature of our industry, is both collaboration and competition.
AstraZeneca boss Pascal Soriot says making money on the vaccine isn't a top priority now, which means the vaccine would be affordable in developing countries. Oxford University scientists hope to have a sign of how effective their vaccine is by mid-June. Then they'll need approval from regulators before being able to produce it and share their formula with partners around the world. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.